Romans chapter 16, the blessing of godly mothers. And you'll understand the context of that statement as we get towards the end of the message. But, you know, the book of Romans is a great doctrinal book, but the part we're going to look at this morning is not doctrinal at all from the standpoint of being theological, as we use the word doctrine. In chapter 15, the end of the chapter, Paul is sort of dealing with particular aspects of his ministry. He's sharing some of those things with the folks there at the church at Rome. These house churches, that's what they were. Think of them in that way. But now in chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, Paul begins commending those people, praising those people, thanking those people, recognizing those people who had stood with him in the past. And really, very little is known of most of these individuals apart from what is mentioned in this section of Scripture. And so they were pretty ordinary people, pretty common people that Paul is giving recognition to here. From this passage, we can get some insight into the heart of Paul, that Paul treasured these relationships of these brothers and sisters in Christ. He treasured these type of relationships. And we not only get an insight into the heart of Paul, but we also get an insight into the heart of God, that God treasures such people and relationships as well, because God has chosen to include them in his word here. So God treasures such people. When we think of this church at Rome, there's some aspects of this church that we can learn from this section of Scripture and get some insight into it. And one of the things was that the church of Rome was proof of the power of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And this church at Rome was a testimony to that power of the gospel. Because within this church at Rome, there were wealthy individuals, there were Romans, there were Jews, there were common folk, there were slaves, there were family members, there were pagans. And so this church was a testimony of the power of the gospel. It was also a picture of spiritual unity because of those diverse backgrounds that I just mentioned. These people were one in Christ, representing the unity that God desires for his body. This group of people enjoyed the ministry of exceptional servants. Exceptional servants, described as helpers. In verse 4, those that risk their lives or risk their necks for the sake of the Apostle Paul and the gospel. Those that labored much or labored hard. Those people were committed. And so they enjoyed the blessing of serving amongst exceptional servants. And we have many of those servants here. And Christ was at the heart of that service. Helpers in Christ Jesus, verse 3. Verse 9, helpers in Christ. They labored in the Lord. And so they were exceptional servants whose service was motivated and directed by a service for Christ. And the Lord knows these servants. We can take great encouragement in that this morning as we serve the Lord, that the Lord knows and takes notice and here is giving significant recognition to these servants of the Lord. And so the Lord knows us by name as we serve him in various places. But on this Mother's Day, we want to especially point out some of the women in this passage in Romans chapter 16. As we look at it, we have to understand that in Jewish and Greek and Roman society, they did not esteem women highly in those cultures. And that shows us that in many ways, Christianity was counterculture back then. Because they didn't esteem women highly back then in those cultures. But yet Christianity was counterculture in that through the scripture, we see God esteeming women highly. The book of 1 Peter and other places, even in that instruction on wives and their role, it is still a place of knowing and understanding your wives, dwelling with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And so Christianity exalted women. They esteemed women. And we see that in this passage of Scripture. Because here, Paul highly esteems many women within these verses. In verses 1 and 2, he mentions this lady named Phoebe. Phoebe, that name means radiant. She was likely the one that Paul instructed to deliver this letter to Rome from Corinth. And she may have been a wealthy individual or a lady of means that she funded herself. She self-funded this trip from Corinth to Rome to bring this letter to the church at Rome. We have here this husband and wife combination, Priscilla and Aquila, in verses 3 and 4, always mentioned together in the scripture. They were one in marriage and they were one in ministry, Aquila and Priscilla. And so So we have the mention of them, that they not only served Paul, they did much more than that. It says that they risked their own necks. Get the picture? Okay. That's how much they served Paul and served the Lord. Maybe multiple times putting themselves in personal danger of life and well-being for the sake of Paul and the gospel. In verse 6, we have a lady named Mary, one of six Marys in the New Testament. The scripture describes her here as one that labored much. And then we have possibly these two sisters in verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa, possibly two sisters that served the Lord together. And then we have Julia in verse 15, with a sister of Nereus that is described here. And so Paul commends these women whom he had relied upon in a particular way to help him in ministry as he closes this letter to the church at Rome. But there's one more woman that Paul commends that we want to look at this morning, and she is found in verse 13 of Romans chapter 16, and let's read that together. He says this, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord," and then here's the statement, "and his mother and mine." Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So here Paul mentions a very special lady, but yet he doesn't even mention her by name. She's only known as the mother of Rufus. Now, possibly Rufus is mentioned in another area of scripture. Would you turn back, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark 15, and possibly this is the first mention of this Rufus that Paul refers to in Romans chapter 16. And in this context of Mark 15, the Gospel of Mark was written from Rome. So that has some significance here as Paul is writing this letter to Rome. The Gospel of Mark was written by Mark from Rome. And in this context, it's talking about the Lord Jesus when he was carrying his cross to Calvary, and Christ no longer had the strength to carry that cross. And so the soldiers compelled one called Simon Cyrenian in verse 21. It says in verse 20, "And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by." And so they compel this Simon, this Cyrenian, to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus. And then Mark goes on to mention, "coming out of the country of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." So this Simon, who is the father of Alexander and this one called Rufus, bore the cross of the Lord Jesus when he was no longer able to carry it. Is it the same Rufus that Paul commends there in Romans chapter 16? We're not completely sure if it is the same Rufus, but what would be the significance of if people didn't know who this Rufus is? And so Paul, by mentioning him, is maybe giving some significance, some correlation between the Rufus mentioned there in Mark, where the Gospel of Mark was written in Rome, and this Rufus that Paul is commending. Now, we don't know what happened to Simon. We don't know what happened to Alexander. But this is possibly this son of Simon, this Rufus that Paul is noting here. And so maybe this Simon, this one that carried the cross of the Lord Jesus, his life was so impacted that it impacted possibly this son Rufus, who went on to serve the Lord and to serve Paul. And so he gives special recognition. And he gives greeting to Rufus, and he gives greetings to his mother as well. But did you know what Paul said about her? He doesn't mention her by name, but he gives her this sweet accommodation that really is very personal. He says, "Greet or salute Rufus and his mother and mine." So I think we know the answer to the question when we ask, was Rufus's mom Paul's birth mother? Was Rufus's mom Paul's birth mother? No, she was not. She was not Paul's birth mother. But evidently, from this statement from Paul, she had shown maternal care to the Apostle Paul at some time in the past. She had shown or displayed some type of maternal care. She had loved him like she had loved her own son or loved her own family. Okay? And so, think about it. Although Paul was an important man, although Paul was an apostle, he still needed the care of other people, right? He still needed the care and concern, love and encouragement of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's why Paul's mentioning these folks. It tells us again that Paul treasured those types of relationships in ministry. He treasured those people who tenderly cared for him, who compassionately cared for him. And it could have been that Paul's family had disowned him. We know a little bit about the life of Paul and Philippians chapter 3, how he was reared and how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. We know from the book of Acts that he was instructed in the Jewish law and religions by one of the prominent teachers of that time, a man called Gamaliel. And it could have been that his parents invested much into their Jewish son that he might reach such a place of prominence within the Jewish religious circle. And so it could have been that after Paul became a Christian, that his parents, who had maybe invested so much in his life, disowned him. And so Paul no longer had that relationship, that influence in his life. But yet God allowed him to be adopted into this spiritual family, if you will. And so evidently, though we don't know her name, evidently, Rufus's mother ministered to Paul, loved Paul, cared for Paul, encouraged Paul as she had opportunity at some time in the past, just like she would have cared for Rufus or would have cared for her own family. And so on this Mother's Day, we want to thank all the women of this church who have been a spiritual mother. We want to thank all the women of this church that have been a spiritual mother. Not just to the children that you have given birth to, but to the those that have been mothers and grandmothers to people in this church, to people within the family of God. There are ladies in this church that have never birthed a child, but they have been spiritual mothers to many. They have cared for, they have encouraged, they have prayed for children and young adults, and now even those of you that are adults, there are still certain women that are still continuing on in this ministry of encouragement and care and love and compassion and nurturing, even in your life now as an adult. What a blessing that is. You know, most of us are thankful for our mothers, especially those who had Christian mothers who cared for and set an example and prayed for you. We could have some testimonies this morning of those of you that are thankful for your mothers and especially thankful for Christian mothers. But I'm sure we are also thankful for godly women that God has put in our life to be spiritual mothers and grandmothers that maybe started off as nursery workers or Sunday school teachers or youth workers or some just lady in the church that has invested in your life and prayed for you and cared for you. So this morning, I'd like to challenge all women to be a spiritual mother to someone who needs a godly influence of a woman in their lives. There is people in this church who may be like the Apostle Paul, who have a mother or father that maybe has abandoned or disowned them, who has a mother and father that do not know the Lord, and they do not have this Christian figure in their lives. And you could be that person to come alongside them and encourage them even as they were your own child. There are others here that maybe lost a mother at a very young age. I mentioned to you, I lost my mother as a junior in high school. My sister lost her mother as a 13-year-old girl. That was difficult for my sister. I had just gotten saved right when my mother passed away. So my life had now the grace of God there to lead me out and lead me on. But my sister is a 13-year-old, 12 or 13-year-old, lost her mother. And my dad just, you know, was somewhat sometimes at a loss of what to do with a daughter in that stage of life. Okay? And the reverse could be true. Joy and I were sitting and having dinner with a young couple that's been attending our church. Similar situation where she lost a father in a divorce situation. And it was mentioning about how men in the church came to be that person that showed interest and care and ministry and made an impact on her life. And so this morning, though, we're talking about being that type of person. Where maybe we have young people who have lost their mothers at an early age, and you can come and fill that void. And that is what the church is all about. The church is a family caring for one another in the various stages and circumstances of life. Is there anyone who could say about you what Paul was able to say about the mother of Rufus, that she was like a mother to me? How can we be a spiritual mother? A godly mother. I'm not talking about a birth mother. I'm just talking about being that type of lady or woman who is engaged in the life of others to fill a void, to meet a need, to encourage, to pray for. Well, identify someone. How do I be this type of mother like Rufus's mother was? Well, look around. Identify someone. Find someone who needs the influence of a godly older woman. Maybe it's a young Christian, young lady. Maybe it's a young mother. Single mom. Look around. Okay? Identify somebody that you could come alongside and encourage. And after identifying them, what could you do? Well, you can invite them to sit with you, your family at church. You can include them and invite them over to meals or special holidays. You can fill those voids that are in those lives. You can pray for them. You can go to them and say, what can I pray with you about as it relates to your family or your own struggle, your own needs, and offer to pray with them or pray for them about specific particular needs in their lives. Become an adoptive mother or grandparent of children that have no grandparents living locally. When we moved here by God's leading in January of 1998, part of our wanting to come to this East Coast was Joy's mother was living in New Jersey about 2 hours from here, and she had been widowed and she was disabled because she'd had a stroke a number of years later, and she was just getting older. It was just a little bit more difficult. We wanted to be close enough to where we could get to her if she just needed some assistance. So that was part of our prayer as we prayed about coming to this part of the country, and the Lord allowed us to do that. And for the last year and a half of her life, she lived there in Bethany Village before the Lord took her home. But for the 19 years we've been here, away from family, except for Joy's mother who lived in the air for a period of time, we didn't have any other family. There are other families in this ministry that are the same way, not just families that are part of ministry here, but just are in similar situations. And so when we came here, the second home we bought, where we live now, Herb and Jane Thiem just live right down the street. And they now live in Florida. But we just saw them last week when we went down, a couple weeks ago, when we went down to our nephew's graduation. But they became our children's adoptive grandparents. Not in any official way or even any formal way where we asked them to do that. But they just included us in their family, and we included them in ours. And it all started off with just being able to swim in their in-ground swimming pool, and we became their neighbors. That was a big benefit for our kids. But they had a little thing they used to do with their children and grandchildren. Whenever they were able to swim the length of their pool without stopping, they would have a big ceremony, a big thing, and they would present a trophy. And so when we first moved there, Jordan was only about a year and a half of age, because it was time to get him out of the bedroom with his sister, Jessica. We didn't have enough bedrooms and space, and so that's why we moved. And so when we first got there, Jordan couldn't stand in the shallow end of that pool without touching. It would be over his head. And so it was the floaties and all these types of things. He gradually got more comfortable in the water. And finally it came to that big day where Jordan was going to try to swim from one end of the pool to the other end of the pool. So the whole family goes down to the Thiems, and Jordan gets to that big moment, and we had some snacks and refreshments, and then Jordan makes it all the way to the other end of the pool. And then Herb, as only Herb could do, gets Jordan comes out of the pool, and we all stand around, and Herb has this little gold cup trophy with Jordan's name on it and gives this real elaborate little speech and presents this trophy to Jordan. Well, that was just the start of things. And since that time, they have traveled to Michigan to be part of our children's weddings, to walk down the aisle as a kind of a representative of grandparents. So since now all our children's grandparents have passed away and are with the Lord. Well, that's the role they filled. I was driving to church this morning. I was thinking of other people in our church. I was thinking of Mrs. Clark, Joan Clark. Never has bore children. Never has a child of her own that was born, but yet she has been a mother to many within Emmanuel Baptist Christian Academy and even Heritage Christian Academy. She has been that type of person that it says, listen, I'm going to engage myself in other people's lives and love them as my own. And she has had a great impact on many people. So identify them, become that type of individual. We don't know what Rufus's mother did for the Apostle Paul. We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. But whatever it was, Paul was tenderly grateful. He was tenderly grateful. So women, all of us, if we are not already engaged in having an influence in that type of way, think about how the Lord may use you in the days ahead. So someone in this church or somebody else may be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, do you know that person? She's not my birth mother. She's not my birth grandmother, but she has been a woman who has had a godly influence in my life. I trust we'll all have that heart, the heart of Rufus's mother, who Paul tenderly recognized and admonished here.